Okay. Well, today is the 7th of November 2018, the day after the general elections that occurred yesterday. And today we're visiting with another former West Dubuque High School instructor, Ron Dankert. And Ron, a lot of times we get started and I just ask about your memories of your, you know, your early years when you were going to grade school, wherever that was. Where was that? Now, you know, can you start out with that a little bit?
Oh my gosh. Grade school? I started out in South St. Paul, Minnesota. My father was a meat inspector. Moved a lot, like 17 times in my high school, just between kindergarten and graduation from high school, 17 times. I recall I started out sixth grade in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My father was transferred there from, or migrated there, probably a promotion or better deal in the meat inspection business. So I started sixth grade in Green Bay, and I don't know the reason why. My father came to Dubuque. I know there was Dubuque Packing Company. So we lived in Dubuque for about 3 or 4 months, and that was my second school in sixth grade. So I lived in Dubuque for about 3 or 4 months, and Dubuque was too big for my mom. So my parents started looking around, and they decided to move to Hazel Green, Wisconsin. My wife gave me my books when I started in sixth grade there. That was my third school in the sixth grade.
Is that right?
In Hazel Green, Wisconsin. And Mary Lovell was asked by the teacher to give the new student his books. And so I remained there through 1 year of college and military, and my parents moved again to back to Dubuque while I was in the military. And then after that, I finished up college at the University of Dubuque. And from there, I met Ralph Buckman. And he said, there is a position for you here at the moment, but it is not teaching. It is managing, at that time, they call it the zoo. Big study hall, as you remember. And that was in the old cafeteria, and that's where they had study hall. That's when West Dubuque was way too big for the buildings that we had. And I'm not sure. Seems to me we had at least 13 portable classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
One in which a raccoon was shot at by an Epworth police officer. But yeah, that's how I ended up getting
back
to West Dubuque.
Can we back up just a little bit? Interesting what you've been telling me. How about your military?
Military? Yes, I was a student at the university, or at Platteville College, going to college there, and things just weren't, you know, I wasn't doing what I felt I should be able to do academically, and so I dropped out of school. And Vietnam was really starting. This is
Vietnam.
Yeah, this is really 1965, 66. And I knew that it would not be long and I would be either in the Army or some branch of the service, and probably in Vietnam. So I had to think fast what I wanted to do, if I wanted to be a 11 Bravo in the Army or the Marines. I looked around at the Navy and the Air Force and the Coast Guard and decided I would enlist in the United States Air Force. So in 1966, I enlisted in the Air Force. Pretty good that I did, because about 3 months before I did, you took a pre-induction physical before you were actually inducted. Anyway, I went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, passed that physical, and probably within a month I knew I'm going to be in the military. So I decided, instead of being in the Army, being in the Army, I thought I would try the Air Force out. I had to give them 4 years, So I spent 4 years in the Air Force, and wow, I was pretty fortunate. I spent basic training 8 weeks in Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. From there, I went straight to Nellis Air Force Base, the Tactical Air Command, and was a... all the tech schools were so backed up that I said, I don't want to wait. I had offers that I could have played on some base softball and even a rifle team. And I decided, no, I just want to go to my base and see what's going to happen. So I went to Nellis Air Force Base, spent 3.5 years there.
In Las Vegas,
yeah. I worked in military pay section. That was a very, very good job. I worked regular, people would say, banker's hours, you know, in an office. Anyone that had anything to do with your pay, you had to come through our office, and we had to type up documents that authorized pay to be taken out, your paycheck to be sent here, whatever. I played an awful lot of softball and flag football and even organized a tackle football team, and we played San Diego Naval Base, which is, to my knowledge, was the first tackle football game that the Air Force played in the United States.
Really?
Yep. And I was knocked unconscious in the first quarter. Came back in the second half and played. I was a linebacker.
No concussion.
Well, I never went, you know, they never even took me to the hospital. They just gave me some smelling salts, and there was a doctor there that just, you know, did the normal. Anyway, yeah, I kept playing. Traveled around Southwest Arizona, Nevada, California a lot for playing softball and flag football. We actually were the Mojave Desert Inter-Service Flag Football Champions.
Okay.
And that included teams from the United States Air Force, teams from the United States Army, and the United States Marines. The first year, they knocked us off in the first game, put a couple of our guys in the hospital. And the second year, we came in second. And the third year that I was there, we were the champions.
Okay.
I think we only gave up. We played 4 games, gave up 1 touchdown. That was flag football. It was more like tackle without equipment.
Well,
you know.
So anyway, you got your discharge, went to college, and wound up at Epworth. After you'd heard that there was something available. And what progressed from that point?
Well, that's really, actually, when I applied, put my resume in, or applied at Dubuque Community School District, and I thought that West Dubuque was a part of that, and I knew a lot of teachers in the Dubuque school system, and finally Mary said to me, Ron, you know, West Dubuque's not a part of Dubuque. Or maybe it was someone down at personnel when I went down there and checked once. And they said, but there is a school district just out about 15 miles out of town. The headquarters is in Farley. Wow. So I went out there, put my application in. And I'm not sure, but I think Mr. Drexler asked me to go and talk to Ralph Buckman, who was the principal at the time. So I went and talked to Mr. Buckman, and it just so happened that Carl Hying was considering getting out of the baseball coaching, and West Dubuque was just starting football, and football was another area that I was really interested in coaching in. And in talking to Buck, he said, well, if you were to manage our study hall for one semester, when I came on, I think it was December, and he said, you know, in the spring there's going to be some job openings, and if things work out, he said, it's possible that I might offer you one of those positions.
Okay.
So it turned out that Buck must have been satisfied with what I was doing, and he offered me the job before the...
So the job was for what?
The job was, at that time, Western Dubuque was going to lease Farley St. Joe's. They had just closed. And so Buck said, Ron, you'll be up here at the annex, it was called, and we had about 250 freshmen, and I would teach physical education there, and he added freshman basketball coach, and I would be the head baseball coach, and I would be one of two coaches for the freshman team, freshman football team.
Okay.
I was pretty excited, and I was really excited, and he took me up to meet Mr. Drexler, and I thought, you know, well, Mr. Drexler will probably interview me, and we get to the office, and Buck said, Wayne, I'd like you to meet our new physical education teacher at the annex, and our new baseball coach, and our new assistant, blah, blah, blah. So that was 73, 74, I believe, and Wayne shook my hand and said, good luck, and we're glad to have you aboard. And, you know, one of the funny things that I remember when Buck would come up to the annex every once in a while just to see how I was doing, and he always wore a sport jacket and usually a tie, and he always put his hand inside of his lapel pocket there and take out a little small notepad, and he'd write things down as he was observing me and talking to me. And he probably did that 5-10 times that first semester.
Is that right?
Yeah. And at the end of that, he said, well, I really like what you're doing, and there's going to be a few more things that are going to be happening, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up at West Dubuque for 32 years.
Okay. So then you transitioned from the annex when that was shut down to the home base at Epworth, and you were in the physical education area.
I was in physical education, and shortly after we moved the freshman from the annex to Epworth, there was a position opened for social studies and a course that West Dubuque called, Behavioral Studies.
Okay.
Was the name of it. So I actually taught that for 25 years also.
I remember that.
And I taught some health whenever Tom Danner was overloaded. I would end up having one of his health classes. And I also taught driver education a few times, mostly only in the summer, except I think once Jerry Lynch got sick and it was easier for them to hire a PE teacher than a driver ed teacher. So a couple of times I ended up teaching driver ed for like a month at a time.
Yeah.
You know, right down there, and then I would go back to physical education. There's one pretty humorous one that a lot of people would get a kick out of. This is still when we were at the annex, and Steve Finley and I were the two coaches for the freshman football team, and we always had to bus down to Epworth, and we usually were, the kids were already dressed, and we go up on top of the hill to Buckman, which is now Buckman Field, and we got there one afternoon, and I remember Brian Heideck was up in the booth. He always ran the scoreboard for us. He was our principal at the time at the annex. And we get up there and the lights are on. And I wondered why the lights were on. But, you know, I'm the freshman football coach. I'm not the one in charge of the lights. And I said something to Steve and he looked at me and said, I don't know. Well, Buck was at a some kind of a principal's meeting. We were... Just recently, we had joined the Big Bend Conference, I believe, and he was at some administrative meeting, and the word is that he saw the lights on once he made the turn at the
Piazza.
And I guess he did a slow burn for the 10 minutes that it took him to drive the rest of the way and to walk up on the field, and he actually came up to me as I'm coaching the team, and he's grabbing my arm and he wants to know why the damn lights are on. And I said, Mr. Buckman, I don't have any idea why. I don't even know where you turn the lights on and off at. And then he went to Steve, Coach Finley, and he chewed him out. And Steve didn't know why the lights were on. Then I heard he went up and talked to Mr. Hydeck, and he wanted to know why the dang lights were on. A couple of days later, he called me in his office, and he actually apologized for doing that, but he said I was just... Oh, another thing that made this even worse, when he got to school, the front door was cracked that you entered, where you entered the school. Somehow somebody broke the front door, the glass door. I mean, it was shattered, and there was a piece of plywood in its place, and he was really... He was just looking for somebody to get. And so we were the first goats that he saw.
Was it ever determined who should put the lights on? I mean, you have to go to each pole, that's why.
I do not know the answer to that.
I've heard that story before. Yeah. It's kind of legendary.
But. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we got the light. We did not ever find who the culprit was that turned. I really think it could have been Brian. Or maybe when he went up there and turned on the electronics, the lights just came on.
Oh, that,
and he didn't even know it.
You have to go to each pole.
Okay. Well, I don't know who did it.
You told me about the kids getting dressed for football. I'm visualizing all those kids trying to get dressed in that little locker room at St. Joe's. And I mean, my God.
Yes. There was also, as the physical education teacher there, my other teammate teaching physical education was Nikki Ray, and Nikki and I shared doing the physical education, but there was a time, whenever she had her prep period, so there was at least one period a day when there was no female instructor available. And one time, I think the girl's name was Gwen Hall.
I remember Gwen.
She had some sort of a condition that we were trained for where she hyperventilated, and we were instructed what we were to do to put it. Her parents came, talked to all of us, and we were supposed to put a paper bag over her mouth and nose and keep her calm. Well, Bob, one time some girls came, and it was right at the end, the girls were showering. And they came and got me. I always stood out in the hallway. Mr. Dankert, Gwen's on the floor withering, and not everybody's dressed. I said, tell them to hurry up and put towels on. I'm not going to be looking at them. I got to come in there and take care of Gwen. She's on the floor. I took a blanket with me because I went to the nurse's office immediately there. Nurse wasn't there. So I run in there, throw this blanket over her, and put this... I had to lay down on the floor because she's laying on the gym... in the locker room floor. I had to lay on the floor beside her, put this brown paper bag over her face. Within minutes, she was fine. And, everything was okay. But it was quite an experience.
Ron, I had not heard a similar story like that in all my interviews.
I didn't know if I should tell anybody this story.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But you never know what you're going to encounter, obviously.
No, that's the truth.
Well, how about some of your other colleagues that you have some... you must have been with Mr. Bailey up there, right?
Oh, my gosh. Chuck was something else. I can, outside of the classroom, this particular thing I really remember. One time, Tom Kilberg, Chuck Bailey, and I think Jim Coleman and our wives, we all went to a varsity game somewhere. And Tom was probably already there coaching, but afterwards they all came to my house in Dubuque, or our apartment, and Chuck put on a show that was unbelievable. He's just a regular comedian. And one time he was in one of the stores here, I think it was Kmart, and he was in another checkout lane, and Mary and I are checking out, and I'm writing a check. Bailey's over there in the next aisle, and he says, Joe. I said, Chuck, you know my name's not Joe. Joe Smith, how you doing? The lady says, she's looking at my check, and she's, can I see some identification? I said, my name's Ron Danker. You'll be able to see that when you see my driver's license. And Bailey is just laughing. Oh, he was definitely a prankster. Yeah.
Well, okay, I want to back up again because you kind of hit my interest button when you said that Mary gave you your books when you got to sixth grade. So how did you connect or reconnect? How did that all happen?
Oh my. So we were 12. So Mary and I have known each other since we were 12 years old. I was really nervous. I mean, Mary came from a large family. She had six brothers.
Yeah.
Only one younger than I. The rest of them were all older. And they all were really good athletes, the Lovell boys. Yeah. And some of them actually played ball, baseball for Farley Hawks, I think.
I played with them.
Okay, so you even played with them. So, you know, I had a... Mary and I were really not... an item as far as boyfriend, girlfriend until after my military days. I mean, yeah, I think I walked her home a few times, danced with her at dances. You know, we were always good friends, but we probably didn't even start dating until 22-ish. And then we dated until we were 29. And that's when we got married.
Okay.
We were 29 years old. Mary survived, you know, the West Dubuque cutbacks. She was got a number. She was one of the people that was terminated. She got a number, and she was number three, which, you know, I think there were like seven or eight teachers that got a number that year. So Mary went to Guttenberg for 1 year, and... literally, that was hell. You know, I'm here and Mary's in Guttenberg. For the first semester, she drove back and forth. And then the second semester, she moved there. And then she got back into West Dubuque that next school year. Her number...
Wasn't that a bunch of
that was,
BS?
It was a tough time for, wow, for everybody, not just Western Dubuque, you know. There was no collective bargaining when I first started teaching.
Right.
You got what you got.
Yep.
And I don't know this. Yeah, it was different.
Well, you know, you move on into the 80s and more memories of about some students that you had that you can remember that had a particular fondness for, or not, maybe not fondness for.
I really remember a lot of good kids.
Yeah.
West Dubuque and that whole rural area there, you know, it reminded me of Hazel Green. And back in those days, the parents really supported the school. They supported the teachers and the teachers' decisions. It was a much better time, I think, for teachers. I remember so many students. One of the students now is my dentist. And another time I met medical associates. And I'm walking through the hallway to go back to some doctor's office. And all of a sudden, this guy in a white coat says, "Coach." I turn around, and here it's, I think it's Dan Steffen.
Ken Steffen,
yeah.
He's a doctor.
Okay, so he's a doctor, and he said, "Come on in, have a cup of coffee." And he's in his white gown. I didn't know he was a doctor at the time. So I sat in his office and, you know, chit-chatted with him, had a cup of coffee. Haven't seen him many times since then. And Coach Kilberg's youngest son, Brett, Mary and I were godparents for him. And lo and behold, Brett is now my dentist.
Okay.
Which is hard.
That's neat stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never sought him out, and he never sought me out to be my dentist. As it was Jart, Steger, and Mullen.
Yeah.
And all three of those guys retired, and a long story, as it progressed, it eventually Brett came and bought that place.
Yeah.
And so when that first happened, you know, they asked me, because I think there were, like Mullen might have still been there, would you mind having Dr. Kilberg as your dentist? I said, Dr. Kilberg? What's his first name? Brett. Oh my God. I said, sure, Brett could be my dentist. He's my godson. And I remember Brad Hying is now kind of a leader in our church, and he became a lawyer, and he and his wife go to Resurrection. There's so many. I hate to even start naming names, because there's so many of the kids.
How many years did you coach the baseball team?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. Because
you were a coach for
6 or 7 years.
When I got there, you were the head coach, but you weren't there much longer than
6 or 7 years only.
79, 80, 80, 81.
I think 81 was my last year, and I don't know if I should tell this story, but I guess I will, because it was kind of the reason I got out of baseball, one of the reasons.
I remember.
And it had to do with maintenance.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Dave Barr did not want anyone driving his machinery or using his machinery, but yet they had no, outside person to take care of the baseball field.
Not a regular person.
No, and actually, the first regular person that you hired, I'm not going to mention that person's name, but they took off. I think I had 9 home contest that year, and he was gone for 5 of them. So he's being paid to maintain the field, and I had to do it 5 times out of 9.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was kind of reflective of the way things were regarding the activities program, because I don't think we ever got a really good shake as far as that's from the central office. Right on up to the top is my opinion, and that was something we struggled with.
Yeah,
whether it was outside or inside or in between or whatever, because I had to push pretty hard to get some funding going with the Booster Club, because it wasn't coming from any place else.
Yeah.
So that's the way it was.
Well, as it turned out, our Booster Club was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that Booster Club at Western Dubuque, and they still are. I've kind of lost a little touch with it. I don't go out there that often. I have 6 grandchildren around here, and all of Mary's family is around here. So we really, ever since I've been retired, I've spent most of my time with family and, you know, my own grandkids.
Yeah.
I did the first 3 years I was out before my own kids started getting married. I went out to Western Dubuque quite often. One memorable thing after I retired.
What year did you retire?
2005, and I think about 4 years later, 4 or 5 years later, Tom Danner asked me if I would come out and speak on Veterans Day. And so I got all dressed up with my shirt and tie and American flag tie and went out to West Dubuque, and it was in the, well, that had been. You had the new gym.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I got to speak to everyone about Veterans Day.
That was, I started Veterans Day when I was moderator of the student council about mid-90s, I think.
Okay. I know West Dubuque always did something on Veterans. I mean, I can't remember when we didn't.
Right.
And I also know that Tom Wickham was pretty big in that, too.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that was a good thing. That was pretty much a tradition for a long time, as far as the elementary, middle school, high school, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, it must have been quite a transition when you moved into the new facility.
It was, you know, I'm really glad that I was only there 1 year after the new facility was opened. Didn't have the new auditorium.
Right.
Actually, my last year at West Dubuque was the only year that I did not teach physical education, and that's when we had a brand new gym. And the reason that happened is, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure how we want to look at that, I had lots of endorsements. And I can understand why Western Dubuque did what they did. Several people in the social studies department left, retired, and I was still there. So I ended up taking all of the behavioral studies classes, and they hired a new physical education teacher to be in the gym.
Right.
You know, okay. Yeah. So I never got to be in that gym my last year.
Okay.
Except to walk through it.
Right.
I can remember that. I really feel that I was at Western Dubuque and myself, and you know, we were really blessed as far as all the teachers that were there that I was involved with were extremely dedicated, good character, good values, worked well together. I was fortunate to work with Julie Westerkamp and Tom Kilberg almost my entire career, and we had a lot of fun together, you know, along with other folks that came and gone. Like Chuck Bailey was one of those, but Julie Westerkamp and I especially, we had a lot of fun with the kids in badminton, especially. That was a sport that even though Julie and I were older, we could compete with them. And I don't believe that Julie and I were ever beaten in doubles in badminton, no matter whether we played a boy and a girl or two guys or two girls. I can tell you this, that two of the very best were Larry Conrad's sons.
Is that right?
They were really, when they were there, they were really good in badminton. And this one boy, Westfall, is it Corey?
Corey Westfall.
He was, I believe, a state tennis champion, and I believe he was the only man that, you know, student that beat me in badminton.
Okay. Interesting. Larry and his wife Janet and I and Susie are going tomorrow night to the football game.
Oh.
So I'll tell Larry that story.
His sons were, they were really good athletes, but they were really good in badminton, too.
Well, okay, so, you know, reflecting back, we've covered a lot of ground here. Ron, is there anything you would have done differently with yourself throughout those years?
Looking back and reflecting upon, you know, my life and my career, I guess the answer would be probably not. There's only one other job that I think I might have pursued had physical education or teaching not worked out for me. I wouldn't have mind being an athletic trainer, but they didn't really have athletic trainers when I was going to college. That came much later. That would have been something that I think I would have really enjoyed being a trainer for. Possibly a, you know, a major league team of some kind.
Right.
You know, I don't know where you start. Now, big high schools probably had trainers, but none around here did.
Yeah.
It didn't happen until much, much later.
Yeah, that was quite a sales job we had to do to get that position.
Yeah.
At high school, but finally, it finally happened. Thank goodness.
You know, I'm not trying to. You're the interviewer here, Bob, but you know, you always were a sounding board. I remember that when things were going bad for me, or there were some things that were put on teachers or coaches that were hard to deal with, whatever, I can always remember you were always willing to listen and to take our crap.
Yeah.
And you went to bat for us. You know, you were one of the administrators that always went to bat for us, and I really appreciate that. And you always added, when I was down and out, I couldn't remember, I always came out of your office. I probably even laughed while I was in there, and I went in mad as hell.
Well, I remember one time you came in, and you said, I've got a problem with my neck or my shoulder. Anyway, you wanted to go to the chiropractor. And I said, you know, I woke up this morning myself, Ron, and I got something back here, and I went with you. Oh, no. We drove to Dyersville.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even have an appointment.
Oh.
And by God, he...
we went to Big Burbach?
Yeah, and he did a few things to me, and I walked out of there just fine. I mean, it was awesome.
First time I went to him, and he was, you know, this. Well, he's huge. And he asked me to lay down, and he's going to twist my body around. I thought I was going to die. He was a big guy.
Yeah. I've got a, well, a gentleman that I was, we were colleagues and coaching, head coaches, Jim McCarthy. Well, he was at West Dubuque for a couple of years.
Must have came and gone before I got
yeah.
there.
And anyway, he got out of teaching, coaching, wound up with massage therapy. Another fellow and I went to visit him, and he was into the deep massage technique. Mm. And I still remember sitting in the living room, and he took my friend, and the screams that came out of that room were unbelievable.
I got a couple things to add about freshman basketball when I was the freshman basketball coach. Basketball was an area that I, you know, when I got into teaching and I knew I was going to be coaching, basketball would have probably been my last choice. Anyway, I end up being the freshman basketball coach, and I can recall the first year that I was the coach, we were in Farley. We still had the annex, and there were like 20, 22 or 25 freshmen that tried out, and our policy then was not to cut anyone. And the very first game was on a Saturday morning, and the games were usually held pretty early. It was like 10 in the morning, and I lived in Asbury or in Dubuque here, and I had to drive out. Anyway, there was like a blizzard the night before. So I get out to Western Dubuque to pick up the kids, get on the bus, and the five kids that I thought would be the starters that I had in my mind, only two of them showed up. The rest of them didn't get there. So we go into Wallard, and they're full press, the whole dang game. Anyway, only two of the starters showed up. It was...
slaughter.
It was a slaughter, yeah. It was...
well... and I'm sure you remember a lot about those road trips where you took the kids on the buses. And I remember a lot of times those drivers would volunteer for those. You know, they had a rotation. And half the time, they didn't know how to get to where the gym was.
No, you're right.
I mean, it was a crazy.
I especially remember one other time in baseball we were making those trips. And I see... we're approaching the corner where you turn to go south on Highway 20, and I thought I saw a man standing there waving as we're approaching the turn, and here it's Mr. Buckman, and he's waving the bus off the road.
Oh, my God.
I thought, what does Mr. Buckman want with us now? We're on our way to a game. He flags the bus over, he gets on the bus, and he says, Coach, I'm sorry. Manders can't go. I'm taking him home. So I don't know what happened. There was some
family situation.
Well, it was an issue with something that he had
eligibility.
Yeah. Actually, Mr. Buckman, the very first home game that I coached the baseball team, I'm really nervous about talking to the kids, you know, it's my first time, it's their first time with me, and I'm about to get the kids in the huddle to have a little chat right before the game's supposed to start, and Mr. Buckman walks down and said, Coach, I need to talk to the boys. I said, Buck, the game's about to start here, I need to talk to the boys. He said, no, I need to talk to them. I have no idea, and he said, I don't want you here. So, I don't know what he said to him. Something about rules.
Yeah. Well, it was a different time, and whatever, but so many, you know, so many good memories of our colleagues that we worked with, and you know, I, my thought is that we were wanting for facilities, and I think it made our kids tougher to go through that experience.
I think I'd have to agree with you there. Yeah, and
have to run out into a storm to go to a class at a portable and have the door fall off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, the kids. I can honestly say the kids were. I don't know if you could ask for a better bunch of kids.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks so much for this visit.
Oh, no problem. It's brought back a lot of memories. There is one more that I'll tell that makes me feel bad about myself, and I know you're aware of this one. When I tell it, you'll remember it. So I'm the freshman basketball coach, and I'm pretty young, and my wife and I had gone out the night before, and there again, remember, the game started at 10 in the morning, and I overslept. So I'm wondering what is going to happen here. I'm thinking I'm probably fired. I get out to West Dubuque to the gym, and it's the first quarter, halfway through the first quarter, and thank you, Lord, for Brian Hyduck. Brian was there. He never said one word to me except, "Coach, you got a young man or two that you need to tape their ankles." As soon as you get their ankles taped, I'll turn over the coaching duties to you.
Well, you know, and Ron, I interviewed Brian last summer down in Florida.
Okay,
he told that story.
He told that same story.
Yeah.
So. He never once chewed my butt out for that.
Yeah.
He knew that he could tell by the look on my face that I already knew that I had done something wrong. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Ron. This has been good stuff.
Yeah, it is.